Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
Happy Waiver Wednesday to all of you who celebrate.
Should I be closing my tabs here of transactions on Yahoo?
You want to talk it through? Why you spent what you spent? Why you did what you did? Let's talk about what you got and what you didn't get. Let's talk about your free agent offers that hit and that didn't. If you spent too much money, we'll be here to talk you down.
Your league is living under a rock if he is still available.
It's worth a flyer. It's one of those, if anybody's going to make that mistake, it's going to be me.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Oh yeah. Here we go. I'm looking at the waiver Wednesdays in a couple of my guillotine leagues. Okay. Big money for Travis Kelce.
Do you know? So we had our waivers yesterday in our guillotine league, right? Who were the biggest names?
Bijan Robinson, was he in our league? Or?
No, okay. This is a different one. So we had Jamar Chase.
Yep, I'd be afraid.
Davante Adams.
I'd be afraid.
We had Trey McBride.
Okay, I'd be fine there.
We have DeAndre Swift.
Eh.
I finished.
It's only week one of guillotine. You don't have to be super aggressive.
I finished in the bidding on those players. Second, third. Oh, add Greg Dortch to the list. Hey, that was third.
Blessing in disguise, Joe.
$3 off on DeAndre Swift at $45. I guess Chase, I wasn't actually that close. I was just second. I was about 230 away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hey.
Yeah, I mean, you should be a little afraid of Chase. I was, you know, not. I wouldn't have bid 500 but out of 1,000, but I was willing to go up to 266. Don't know why I landed on that number. Do you ever have a science to that?
No.
Usually it's just random number spits out. That seems about right.
Yeah, you're like 260. And then you're like, you know what? No.
Someone's going 261.
264. Yeah. That's going to do it.
Because you go, I don't want to miss out by $3.
And then it ends up being you missed out by $3 instead of $6. And
that's what DeAndre Swift, I bid 42.
And it was?
Just as easily could have gone, it was 45.
Right.
Just as easily could have gone 46.
Why not just bid 1,000? Make sure you get them.
Right.
On your whole guillotine budget.
Yeah.
Well, if you're in a guillotine league, happy Waiver Wednesday. You wake up to find out what you got, what you didn't get. Usually, it goes overnight Tuesday into Wednesday.
And most leagues run waivers today anyway.
Yeah.
The big name would have been Isaiah Likely, I think, in most leagues.
And Jordan Mason.
Jordan Mason obviously would be a big one, too, because he's probably going to start again for the 49ers. And I think we all saw that if McCaffrey were to miss a significant amount of time, Jordan Mason's like a top 10 running back in fantasy.
Yep.
Potentially. So those would be the two biggest.
You're talking the one end where you bid and you miss by a little. Yeah. And then there's the other end of the spectrum where I have a league, guillotine league here, where Bijan Robinson was available. And he went for $600 of a $1,000 budget. And the wow. Next closest bid was $340.
Yeah,
it's tough to take. You know, that's the beauty of the blind bidding. Is all right. I got my guy. How much did I spend that I didn't need to spend?
Yeah.
Oh, $260.
I think it might. Is it healthier? You know, if you don't get on the player, get the player. It's like all right. Yeah. Let me go see what I missed out on. If you get the player,
don't look.
Just don't even look.
Don't look. You are comfortable paying that. Don't
yeah.
look.
Right. Don't even look because you've got him. You got what you wanted. You were willing to pay that price. You got what you wanted. Don't go look after and see, oh, what could have had him for $300 cheaper?
Yep. Well, good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Big show today. Excited. Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills podcast at 7:30. Sal at 7 o'clock. Howard picks the Bills at 8. I have a nugget on the Dolphins. And, you know, it's Bills-Dolphins. This thing is... it's approaching so quickly. It's tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Yeah.
Which, you know, Thursday night games happen. Maybe it's normally, Joe, that we get them in week 6 or 10 or wherever, and you're in the thick of a football season. Right now, for Bills Dolphins to be the first midweek game outside of like the NFL kickoff game, it feels like it is a moment away. They just finished Arizona, and now right into Miami, and right into a game that is important. And I guess this is the question I would want to ask. Is anybody, and I mean this sincerely, is anybody thinking they could lose? They are underdogs. That's new against Miami, is it not?
Yeah, no, I don't. They haven't been an underdog.
They are underdogs
to anybody
Miami.
But like Kansas City in years, really.
Yeah, and if you look at the Bills Dolphins history, I was going through this because people love to point out that the Bills have won their last how many against the Dolphins? Josh Allen's had got one loss, two losses.
I think it's 10. Is it 10 of 11?
Yeah. Yeah, Allen's got two losses against Miami, where one is the Charles Clay play. Some people call that a drop. Some say it might have been underthrown. Whatever. The Charles Clay play, and then the heat stroke game where they lose it late and they had 500 yards of offense and lose a game by two. So they're 10-2. However, over the course of 10-2, I would like to point something out, all right? Here's what I'd like to point out. Margin of victory, 25, 10, 17, 3, 30, 35, 15, 2, 3, 3, 28, 7.
Okay.
If you're a Dolphins fan, are you not saying, yes, you're still winning, we are closer?
In the way that the games are getting closer than they were?
4 out of 5 are one-score games. 4 out of 5. And one of those includes Skylar Thompson playing in a playoff game.
Yep.
Whereas, again, before, if I went 4 out of 5, I've got 4 out of 5 that are double digits.
Right.
35, 15, 30, 3, 17, 10, 25.
Yeah.
Instead of one game being the outlier that was close, it's one game stands out as being not close.
Yeah. Is the line of demarcation when McDaniel gets there?
I think so. Even though Brian Flores is given credit as a good defensive coach, when McDaniel got there, their offense woke up to a degree.
And honestly, their defense has played better.
It really has.
It was hard. I mean, the Bills scored 56 in one of them. Like, it's hard to do worse than they were doing before.
But yeah, but the Bills' points against Miami are last game 21, including a special teams touchdown, 48, 34, 32, 19.
It's still pretty good.
It's not that bad considering this offense. And before that, again, 26, 35, 56, 31, 37.
Yeah.
So they are definitely, I think we can, I shouldn't say we can all agree. I think definitely closer. I think Mike McDaniel has pulled them closer. Last year, they're a don't blow it against Will Levis away from winning the division. If they had won that game and closed out a game they were up by 2 scores in the fourth quarter, they win the division. And I don't know how different the conversation is. And then again, I don't know what the playoffs would look like. The Bills would not have played at home. They certainly wouldn't have played 2 home games. So here we are. It's Bills Dolphins. The Bills beat them all the time. But 4 out of 5, 1-score games. Closer. What's more likely to happen in the next 4 to 5 games? The Dolphins stay close, or the Bills push that distance back out? And 4 to 5 games might be a tough thing to predict versus just 2 games this year.
Yep. Yep.
They are underdogs today. Is it crazy for them to be underdogs? I do not think it's crazy for them to be underdogs.
I think it's crazy given that they weren't underdogs against them last year. And I don't see how the two teams are all that different from last year. Either one of them. Like, I think the Bills have yet to prove that their offense is legitimately different from what we saw under Joe Brady at the end of last year and is legitimately better than what it was under Joe Brady last year. But Miami, to me, like, what they've done, what? They added old Jordan Poyer. They added Calais Campbell at 37 years old. Like, they did some stuff that's older on the roster.
They swapped a lot of defensive pieces. A lot.
But for better players?
Oh, I don't know about that. Yeah.
Yeah, like, and their offensive line, they lost pieces. So, like, I think they're still good. I think they're exactly what they were last year, though. So, to me, it's maybe that is the odds reacting, though, to what the last couple of games have been, which is
closer.
But they've been closer games. But I'm not more scared of the Dolphins than I was last year. Like, I don't feel a good reason to be respecting them more than I would have when they played in the season finale last year. And I almost think the Dolphins having the lead they did, it almost works backwards, I think, with Bills fans. And even with me, like, they had a three-game lead. Was it 3.5-game lead, even?
Three-game
lead. Okay, they had a three-game lead at the end. And them blowing it the way they did to Will Levis, them losing the way they did to the Bills. I mean, the Bills needed a punt return touchdown, but didn't the Dolphins not score a touchdown in like their last 7-8 drives in that game? So
they were, for what it's worth, just like the Bills, they were missing a lot of key pieces.
Right. There were injuries.
They were missing Waddle in that game.
Because, man, like their second half in that game, 3 plays, 9 yards, 4 plays, 11 yards, 3 plays, 1 yard, 3 plays, 3 yards, 4 plays, 23 yards, interception, game over.
Yep.
Like, oh my, come on.
Well, okay, ready? Here's part of my point. I don't really have a point yet. So it's before 7. You don't have to have a point. Who's the second leading receiver for the Dolphins in that game? Don't look.
Is it Chase Claypool?
No, keep looking. Keep guessing. I'll give you 1,000 years.
Is this Hill? Hill's number one?
Hill's number one, 7 for 82 and a touchdown.
I have one more guess only because I remember a couple of the, you know, okay, journeymans that were on that team at the end. Was Robbie Chosen one of them?
No, he was not.
Okay, then I don't know.
It's not even Braxton.
River Craycraft?
No, River Craycraft had 1 for 18.
Mm.
It's not even Braxton Berrios, who had 2 catches.
I forgot about him. Is it the, it's not one of the running backs or anything?
Durham Smythe.
The tight end?
Their second leading receiver in that game was Durham Smythe with 3 catches.
Uh-huh.
Waddle out. So, you know, what's that worth to you? It doesn't have to be worth much. But, yeah, tight end Durham Smith had 3 catches.
Yeah.
And I don't anticipate that'll happen.
No, nope, that's right. That's right.
I am the one who, for the last, ever since the Dolphins did put up 70 against Denver, and maybe even before that, I'm the one that says, I'm not as confident as everybody else. I don't think the Dolphins and the Bills are as far apart as eight out of 10. Josh Allen owns Miami. His big, huge, massive games are a coach ago. Full coach ago. They played here in the playoffs. It was tight. Tighter than you wanted it to be. They played here at the regular season in the snow game where the, I wish it were colder and we're throwing snowballs at them, where the Bills needed it to win the division, and the Bills won it on a kick at the death.
Yeah. That a bad Allen game, though? They scored 34 in that game?
The Bills?
Yeah. Right, 34-31?
I don't know if it was a bad Allen game. I know the Bills. He had a strip sack fumble. I know that.
Yep.
That they brought one back.
Oh,
for,
I remember that. In the second half,
the Dolphins,
right,
took the lead,
yeah,
in that game. So I'm not nervous. I'm just in the minority here where I feel like, careful acting like you're always going to be ahead of them. Because Mike McDaniel and the offense that he's built, even though it hasn't put up monster numbers against this Bills team, and Tyreek Hill does not often go off against these Bills with Sean McDermott.
Yep. His lowest yards per game against any team in the league
is the Bills.
And they've played him 7 times,
mm-hmm,
in the regular season.
In the regular season.
Yeah, but in the regular season, they have his number. They had his number last year, right? He didn't go nuts.
In the final,
he didn't have the play against the Jaguars.
In the final game, he had 82 yards and a touchdown.
But that's, you take that, right?
I mean, what's his career average? Is it 95?
Maybe.
You held him 1 catch off the board. 80. If he has 82 and a touchdown
on
Thursday, you'd sign up?
I'd sign up on a heartbeat.
Is that a good day?
Yes.
Stopping a receiver?
Because he's someone that I'm afraid of going for 203.
Right, but 203 is not a normal receiving day.
No, but he does that. But does he do that every fourth time, every fifth time? Maybe not that much, but a game where he breaks it open. And he doesn't really do that against McDermott defenses. He has good games like that, but does he ever break it open and take the game over?
Well, just to give you a comparison, Tyreek Hill in his final season in Kansas City, because Mike McDaniel, by the way, it's another point for the Dolphins here, they have opened up Hill, unlocked Hill to another level. In Tyreek Hill's final season in Kansas City, his yards per game was 77.
Yeah.
And he put up 82 and a touchdown against the Bills in the last one. Now, yeah, last year, he had 1,799 yards. That's like 100 yards per game,
yeah,
and not quite a touchdown per game, but close.
Right.
The year before, 1,707 touchdowns. So Hill is always a threat. And the Bills, you can say that they do a good job against him, because they do. But that's because they're definitely focused on him, right? No one's prepared to make the point that he's worthless to them because he doesn't go off against the Bills. Like, aren't the Bills spending 85% of their time,
yep,
talking about what to do with him. And that's probably why Jaylen Waddle, you can remember having some decent days against the Bills when he plays. He did not play in the season finale last year, week 17, week 18 in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
They also didn't have in that game Jalen Phillips, Bradley Chubb.
Mm-hmm.
They're missing both their pass rushers. They still really are without their top pass rushers who are recovering from injuries.
Phillips looked awesome.
Okay, good. Phillips looked great.
Yeah.
They got Chop Robinson, which is amazing. He's coming off an injury, but if he looked great, then there you go. That's an answer for you.
He had a huge, I think, two and a half minutes left. The Jaguars had like third and six, maybe, and a chance to kind of move the ball down the field and kick a field goal. And Phillips got to Lawrence in like a second. It's unbelievable watching him with just tearing his Achilles in December. Here we got Kirk Cousins and Aaron Rodgers. I know they're older quarterbacks, very different, but they just tore their Achilles and they look like they can't move. And Jalen Phillips tore his Achilles in December and he looks like he might be back. So, but they are missing Chubb. They are missing Bradley Chubb in this game. The point from earlier about like how it unraveled at the end of last year, doesn't it feel like them blowing the lead has been reacted to more so as, oh no, you're not close. You missed your one shot. That was your chance to stay above us and you blew it.
Maybe from a lot of Bills fans, yes, but I wouldn't do that at all. Act like the only chance the Miami Dolphins have to beat the Bills is last year. If you do that, you have to do that with the Bills and the Chiefs in the playoffs. You missed your best chance. It's over. You'll never do it. Like, I wouldn't do that. You're going to have more chances. Miami is going to have more chances.
Did they miss their best chance?
No. Their best chances are still to come. It's like saying that the 49ers missed their best chance to win a Super Bowl because they were on the doorstep multiple times. But it's an easy thing to say because you were close.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no reason to think it's not going to happen. I mean, the Bills lost a game to Brady in Allen's second season, right?
Yep.
Would we have said that's your best chance ever? Like, then Brady leaves and they win all the time.
Allen, by the way, is riding a 5-game streak of throwing for 300 yards against the Dolphins.
Will he continue that?
Yes. Yes.
Are they going to throw it enough for him to do that?
Like, last year was a struggle for their offense, right? Like, in that finale, man, I didn't realize his stat line was this good in that game because the Bills only scored, 14 points on offense? But they had two turnovers on the Dolphins' side of the field, one of which was inside the Dolphins' 10-yard line. Allen, again, you had some of the turnovers. He had two picks, one of which, by the way, was like a fourth down, just chuck it to the end zone because I have nothing to do here. But whatever, that counts. In that finale against the Dolphins last year, Allen was 30 of 38 for 359 yards and two touchdowns. And that was with a Joe Brady team that was not really throwing the ball that much. And he put that stat line up against the Dolphins. It's Vic Fangio. There's differences between last year and this year. Just, I don't know. Like, I know some of the scores are close, but I don't feel like the Dolphins have ever had an answer for the Bills on offense, and I feel like Sean McDermott's had a better answer for the Dolphins' offense than a lot of other people have, especially Tyreek Hill individually.
Well, almost every playoff team has had an answer for the Dolphins' offense to some point.
That's true.
Right? Like, the Chiefs had no trouble.
Yeah.
The Cowboys had no trouble, really. That game was relatively easy for them.
That was the one. Wasn't that the one they lost? Or am I wrong on
that? The Cowboys beat them.
Oh, okay. I think.
Or is that their only playoff win?
No, sorry. I think that was their one win.
Oh, okay.
I think. But otherwise, I'm not 100% sure on that, though.
They did. They beat him 22-20.
Okay. But all the other playoff teams they lost. Like,
they got hammered by the Ravens 56-19.
Yes, that happened. Yeah. And there were a couple of others, I think, along the way in there somewhere.
They blew out the Jets twice.
Okay.
Looking at last year.
They blew out the Panthers, right? There was a Washington game, maybe. They blew them out.
Yep.
But I don't know. McDermott with Hill is one thing. Like, man, that week 3 game last year after they scored 70, like, maybe the most impressive thing looking back on that game is not even that they held the Dolphins to what they did. Because that game actually started, remember, with the Dolphins score, I think.
Yes.
But the one thing the Bills did against Tua in that game that you never see is they got him to hold on to the football and take sacks. And nobody does that. And I don't know how they did that. Was that just the communication was lightning quick? Was that the scheme was perfect? I don't know exactly what it was remembering from that game. All I know is that was a football game where Tua is a quarterback that wants the ball out within 2 seconds, first, second read, one of those first two, and the ball's out. And the Bills made him stand back there and take sacks.
His line has been an issue for a couple of years.
Yep.
They beat that by, and this year it's not expected to be great again, but they beat that by getting the ball out quickly. It's one of the things that's amazing about Mike McDaniel's offense is that they get it out quickly, and they also throw it down the field successfully. Well, I got a Twitter poll up about it. Four of the last five Bills-Dolphins games have been one-score games. In six of the previous seven, double-digit wins for the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
Which timeline do you think this Bills-Dolphins game lands on? Close game or Bills blowout? No one thinks Miami blowout is possible. Although...
That's true. The Bills have the record now for most games in a row without losing by more than six.
Are they due just to have a stinker? Because sometimes when they have a blowout loss, it's just a stinker. They lost to Tennessee by 25, and what do we say? Like, eh.
Just a bad day.
They turned it over a bunch of times. Trey White missed that game, I believe, and Josh Norman got hit for a touchdown.
Okay. Eh. Fluky play at the beginning.
Right. The Bills. The Titans had, I think, I'm sorry for remembering this game.
This is what we have to go back to, though, right? Like, the last time they were blown out?
I'm pretty sure I can remember the next day coming in and saying, the Titans had six drive starts at the 30 or closer. Like, the Bills 30 or closer and put up 42 points. I mean, I'm not mad at the defense. What are you supposed to do? So, it's been a while since they had an outright stinker and a long time since they had one against Miami. 803-0550, it is Miami week. Quick note I had for you. We're going to be, of course, charting Devin Achane, Raheem Mostert.
Mm-hmm.
So Jalen Wright was asked about his availability. He's the Miami rookie running back. Will he play? And there might be a little bit of Kyle Shanahan, Jordan Mason, be careful what you say in this answer.
Mm-hmm.
But Dolphins rookie running back Jalen Wright told David Ferones, who is from the Sun Sentinel, the Orlando Sun Sentinel. He said about Devin Achane and Raheem Mostert, they may be a little banged up, but I still expect them to play. My main thing is I got to be ready for that time, whenever that time is. Whenever that time's to come, it's my opportunity. He said being inactive Sunday, he understood it, took it professionally, first NFL game. But Achane was a healthy and active in his first game. So there's rookie running back Jalen Wright, who would get the call if one of those guys can't go. And he says he thinks they'll be good to go.
Okay.
For what it's worth. Achane, man. If he's healthy, that's a scarier animal than James Conner. That's a much more dangerous running back than most that they face. And he was torching the Bills in that game here in Orchard Park last year. 803-0550, happy Wednesday. Jeremy and Joe with you. Sal joins us in the 7 o'clock hour, as does Joe Marino. Got to give you a preview of what he had to say. He had a nice, delicately worded tweet, not to anger some of the Bills Mafia. I've got a snark cannon ready for Joe Brady and Dalton Kincaid. I'm sure we'll get some trivia mixed in. And a beautiful stretch of weather on the way as well. Holy cow, it's going to be 80s for a week.
80s for I thought it was a couple days.
I'm looking at all going into like next Tuesday, the high is 81.
Woo!
Yeah.
Summer with one last bang at the end here?
You mean fall with totally normal, seasonable fall weather that happens every year. Is that what you mean? Every year. Wow, it's like summer.
Yeah.
All right.
I need a little bit of a chill. Doesn't feel like a fall to me if it's 82.
Yeah, we're playing golf today. I wish it was like 50. Sorry, just
50.
55.
I was going to say, that's a little, 50 or 82 right now?
50.
All right.
I'd rather wear pants and a quarter zip.
Yeah, all right.
I would take it. But I'm happy to golf when it's 82. 803-0550. Close game, blowout. Are the Dolphins getting any closer? You can give us a call. 803-0550 on WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Maybe fifth month this short week. Just get in the playbook. You got time. Ain't like we got class. I mean, you don't want to run too much on a short week. You know, I mean, if you can, just get in there. Just run a little bit. Walk on a treadmill. But me, I just like to get ready for the game.
Curtis Samuel, who might be a bigger part of the Bills offense, coming up tomorrow night in Miami. Bills fans making the trip. Saw the airport, pictures of the airport yesterday. People flying out today, maybe two.
Taken over already.
You still haven't done that, yeah, right? The Miami trip? Josh, you know the Miami trip? No.
This wasn't the year. Not in September.
I agree.
It's
an early trip to take. It's nice down there, of course.
What am I going to do? I'm going to escape our 82 degrees and sunny?
For 82 degrees and sunny?
Yeah. I'll wait. I'll wait until a year when it's in December or something.
Yeah.
This is New York for me this year. That's my one away game this year.
You're going to the Jets?
Going to the Jets game at MetLife.
Robert Saleh had a comment about the Jets you tell me if I should be shocked about it.
Is it the one about the run game?
No.
Okay, did you see that one?
Is it that they're going to fix their defense?
It was him being a little snarky when asked about how much they gave up on the ground, and he basically said, "We'll stop the run when we want to."
Interesting.
Basically saying we dared them to run like that all night. We're not worried about it.
Yeah, he might be right. One thing about the run game, I by the way, you know me, I talk about it all the time. Did they get pushed around or did they get out schemed? I mean, the Shanahan offense schemes things pretty well. If you get run on, there's this big belief that you were just weak and a bunch of guys pushed you around. Sometimes it's just better technique, better calls, missing your run fits, guys playing positions incorrectly. Anyway, no, that's not it. Robert Saleh says, yes, it does feel better to be 0-1 this year than 1-0 last year.
Okay.
Fair?
Yeah, yeah. It's fair.
He's not allowed to say that if Zach Wilson's still on the team. Right?
No, that is definitely true.
That's what he's saying.
He can't say it if Zach Wilson's
it feels better to be 0-1 this year than 1-0 last year.
Yeah, it's got to be right. Even though, it's kind of funny. The quarterback, statistically, the stats are almost identical from week one. Wilson last year to Rodgers this year. They're almost the same. It's one pick, it's one touchdown, it was 170 yards right around there. Rodgers maybe made a couple throws that were more impressive. Wilson, if you remember, his touchdown was Garrett Wilson catching a circus play on Tre'Davious White.
Yep.
So you had that, I guess. But number-wise, they looked the same. But yeah, no, Rodgers is healthy.
Saleh also said, our offense is going to be really good this year. It's a 17-game season. We've got 16 of those left. Getting the defense fixed is not going to be a problem. So basically, Robert Saleh is treating this loss in San Francisco like it's a preseason game. We've got 16 left. We're going to get the defense fixed. Uh-huh. The offense is going to be really good. He went on to talk about Rodgers. There's no panic in him. He was a calm force on the sideline. I think last night provided a lot of closure for him with regards to finishing a game and knocking that out. And I think I speak for everybody, especially on the offensive side of the ball. There's a lot of confidence on that side.
Well, he didn't finish the game, though. Also remember that. Did you see, by the way, people were questioning why Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall were still on the field in that last drive, but Rodgers wasn't? And maybe it was one of the Jet guys on TV, I don't know, said that they're wondering if Rodgers didn't tell Saleh that he was coming out on that last drive. He just went over and told Tyrod Taylor, hey, I'm done. You're going out there. Saleh didn't even know. He didn't even know to take out Wilson and Breece Hall because he didn't know his quarterback wasn't going out there for the final drive. Their defense, by the way, there's also a little concern about that. Their defense was elite last year, right? It's always said about the Jets. They're a quarterback away because they have one of the best defenses in football, and they're an elite, historic, even they were calling themselves last year before the year. Do you know that they've given up 30 points or more in 6 of their last 7 games?
Yeah, it's a lot of reputation on that defense right now.
I think actually it might even be more than that if I expand it out. I think it's 7 of the last 9. They've given up 30-plus points. That actually begun with that Bills game, Joe Brady's first game, where the Bills scored 32 on them in the middle of last year. So, all right, I'm not saying the defense will be bad, but should I just write it in ink that, they're going to be one of the 3 best defenses in football this year? Their defensive line, they can't get a pass rush right now. So, all right, Robert Saleh, who is currently the betting favorite to be the first coach fired, he's going to assume his defense is going to get right and that his quarterback and his offense is going to be great. And I'm not assuming maybe either one of those things right now.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. We'll connect with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Asking, we're talking right here about the Jets, but the Dolphins, four of the last five, one-score games. Six of the seven before that, Bills blowouts. Which timeline do you think this one lands on? More like a Bills blowout idea, or more like, might be close, the Bills go in as underdogs? You can give us a call on that, or anything else that's on your mind. Paul in Buffalo. Hey, Paul, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Been a little while, and, you know, only about a month away from my insane season. So, you know, you'll be hearing from me sooner or later.
Yes.
Anyway, I think this is going to the Bills' blowout side because I'm a big believer the last time the Dolphins beat the Bills was because it was 95 degrees and they sit the Bills in the sun on their sideline, and I think that had a massive effect on the Bills in that game. And I expect Josh Allen to just put a thumping on him Thursday night, to be honest. Maybe that's cocky on my part, but I think in the night when the home advantage means nothing for Miami without the weather, I think the Bills are just a better team. I think the Bills' offense looks very variable right now, and I don't know how you're going to choose to defend it until someone gets it and there's a copycat playbook out there. I think the Bills look very dangerous. I don't know, maybe just 1 week, who knows? But I think the weather is going to help the Bills there, yeah. Or lack of weather, I should say.
All right. Thanks, Paul. It definitely, I look at the forecast. It's supposed to be still in the 80s at night. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the biggest thing is the sun won't be hammering and punching the Bills in the face while the Dolphins in the shade.
Yeah.
So they won't have that advantage, which Dolphins fans, it is one of the funnier things in the league. There's no doubt that home field, home atmosphere advantage is the biggest in the league. That you can put your opponents in the sun.
More even than the cold here.
Yes, because everybody's in the cold. You can get used to it.
Right.
In that situation, one team is dealing with it. And, yep. You know, people up here like to joke, well, maybe we won't have heaters. Fine, you still have to be in the cold.
Mm-hmm.
Miami, they don't have to put fans on their sidelines. And if they don't put fans on their sidelines, you didn't have to put them on yours either. You got to bring your own in. So, listen, if that were us, I think we'd say, get over it. Tough. Home field advantage. But I know Dolphins fans tend to be a little sensitive when pointing it out. The last time they lost to Miami, it was a two-point loss. And, right, it was Allen got stopped on a quarterback run on fourth down in close, and he missed the throw to McKenzie. That's when Dorsey is throwing stuff. He's so mad. They had 500 yards of offense.
Yep.
That's the game that Tua gets knocked out, right, and comes back?
He comes back in. And that's the game where the Bills have like a billion yards, and they
500.
Don't.
497.
497. That actually, so, like Paul says, like, I don't know, I just kind of feel like the Bills are better, even in these one-score games. Like, your eyes are not really deceiving you. You know why it feels like that? Here's some numbers from the last two seasons. In the last 2 years, the Bills have outgained the Dolphins in head-to-head matchups by 935 yards. 187 per game, that's the widest gulf of any divisional matchup in the NFL in the last 2 years. And that's a lot of one-score games in there.
Yeah.
The Bills are outgaining the Dolphins in the last 2 years by more than any other divisional matchup.
So how are the Dolphins keeping it close?
The Bills aren't finishing drives, right?
Is that just the Bills? Or does Miami have a red zone, I don't want to say kryptonite, but how could you keep four out of five close when you're getting outgamed that badly? Luck?
Yeah.
It could be luck.
Well, there's defensive touchdowns in there in the playoff game, right? And there's Allen throwing a red zone pick in the finale last year, right?
Yep,
and there's him short hopping it to McKenzie. That's only three plays. Those three plays don't make up that entire gulf. They might. I don't know. You know what? It's Fangio, so it's a different coordinator, and Fangio typically gets burned by Allen. Like, his numbers against Allen stink. But do they have a secret sauce? All right, I'm open to that. I'm open to, remember this was said about Belichick with the Bills a little bit, maybe in some of their matchups, how they would try to play Allen or how they would try to play Mahomes. Who was the coach that would almost invite the team to kind of move it into the red zone? Because we're going to get it from you there. We're going to force you into field goals. I forgot who that was. Last year, little forgotten play that was one of the weirdest plays I've ever seen called. In that finale, at the end of the half, the Bills had, what was it, second and 11 with like 10 seconds left, and the Dolphins let Deonte Hardy on a screen run out of bounds for a first down with like 5 seconds left. You remember that play? Look that play up. The Dolphins stood on their goal line. One of the weirdest plays you've ever seen.
Like, agreed to give up a field goal.
They agreed to give up the first down. So to make it touchdown or bust, we're gonna dare Allen to throw it short of the goal line. Hmm. We're gonna bet that he's gonna make a mistake here with no timeouts. He's either gonna take a sack or he's gonna throw it short, and you're gonna get 0 points out of this. I'll show you this play in the break. The Dolphins asked him to run another play and throw it short, and then Allen threw it short to Ty Johnson. And they got 0 points. Isn't that a defense that says,
okay, oh, sorry,
we think we've got your number when we get down here around the goal line?
So they threw it to Hardy, who ran out of bounds.
Yes.
And then the next play, the Bills throw, and the clock runs out on the half.
Yes.
So
almost to say, we're going to bet you make a mistake here.
Right. What the Dolphins try to do is convince Allen to go for bigger things. And they think it's in his nature. He's going to go for bigger things.
Yeah. Again, like, I'm just throwing a theory out there. I don't know if that's the case, but that's one play that comes to mind, and there's a massive gulf here.
Yeah.
Because the Bills outgain them, but the games stay close. And something explains that. I don't know exactly what, just off the surface here.
803-0550, Jeremy and Joe. We'll talk with Sal coming up top of the hour. Thanks to the phone call. Paul, you can give us a call as well as we gear up for Bills and Dolphins. A lot of chatter about this matchup today. Joe Marino, 7:30. Howard picks the Bills at 8 as we cruise through a sunny, well, soon to be sunny. It's not sunny yet, 6:46. It's going to be sunny. It's going to be warm on this Bills Wednesday, I guess. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. Jeremy and Joe, Thursday Night Football coming your way tomorrow. Hey, be on the lookout for us. They came in here and they filmed us talking on Monday.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to make our like Amazon Prime debut. The game will be on television locally. Mike Catalana in Rochester pointed out, to those of you that watch the Bills in Rochester, the NFL does not allow Rochester stations to buy this game the same way that like you can here in Buffalo.
They're not considered in market.
Yeah, so in Rochester, it's only on Amazon Prime. Let me get the wording of what Mike said, because I did not know this, and it was obviously news.
Yeah.
He says, anywhere that does not, reminder to Bills fans in Rochester or anywhere that does not get Buffalo TV channels, not permitted to buy the rights to games, Rochester stations. Thursday night's game in Miami is on Amazon Prime Video. So if you're in Rochester, it's Prime.
Man. So Al Michaels?
And Kirk Herbstreit.
What level of energy are we going to get out of Al? Can we get above a 3 out of 10? Anything, Al. Come on.
How about Scott Hansen calling out Tom Brady for not being excited enough about a play?
I saw that, yeah.
And then he apologized.
We could get to this.
Brady said, it's all good. I'm a rookie.
I heard Katie Nolan broke down 5 Brady clips, like things he's got to work on, things he's got to improve on. And one of the 5, she played a clip of Brady after an interception. Like Kevin Burkhardt, he's all excited calling the interception. Okay, Brady starts talking. He's just kind of monotone like this, like, wow, that play, like, oh, good coverage here. And then his voice goes up like this. Like, weirdly, it goes up at the end.
Like, Kevin Burkhardt might have elbowed him, like, hey, buddy.
Either that or, like, a producer got in his ear and, like, energy. And in the middle of his comment, he goes, oh, like, he starts talking high.
Yeah. Come on, Tom. Give it some oomph. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. We'll talk with Sal on the other side. Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast. And, more. Stay tuned.